Einen schönen guten Abend. Mein Name ist Thomas Steininger. Ich begrüße Sie bei Radio Wolf, unserem wöchentlichen Webcast für Bewusstsein und Kultur. Heute mit dabei sind Annette Loy und Elisabeth Ebold. Annette Loy und Elisabeth Ebold werden gemeinsam mit mir in 2 Tagen am Samstag einen weltweiten Webcast unter dem Titel One World Bearing Witness machen. Das ist eigentlich mehr als ein Webcast. Es ist ein 24-Stunden-Event, den wir gemeinsam mit Freunden, Bekannten und neuen Freunden und neuen Bekannten aus allen Erdteilen, aus allen Kontinenten, von Neuseeland bis Guatemala machen werden, um gemeinsam zu meditieren, gemeinsam als Menschheit zusammen zu sein und auch gemeinsam damit zusammen zu sein, dass wir uns auch dem stellen wollen, dass wir als Menschheit und dass diese Erde große Probleme hat. Dieser Webcast wird, weil er ein globaler Event sein wird, auch in englischer Sprache sein. Deswegen möchte ich diese Radiosendung gemeinsam mit Elisabeth Ebold und Annette Loy auch in englischer Sprache machen. Annette, Elisabeth, welcome to Radio Evolve.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And this is a big event that we are planning. We are planning to have a 24-hour global webcast with the name One World Bearing Witness. For somebody who has no idea what this is, how would you describe what we are planning to do here?
I guess what's difficult is that there's so many different ways to describe what we're doing here. So somebody who had no idea, you might start by saying, okay, we realize that we're divided on this planet, that there are very deep-seated conflicts and divisions in wealth and power, divisions north and south, divisions by race, divisions by religion. And yet every deep wisdom tradition says that we are one, and that's what one discovers in meditation or in spiritual practice, that at the depth of our being, there is no separation. And so what One World Bearing Witness is trying to do is to bring those two things together. Can we bear witness to these ways in which we separated from each other from a place of unity? And in that, can we begin to make a tiny step toward a different consciousness on this planet where we don't deal with difference from a point of opposition, but in from a place of, okay, we are all in this together. We do share one humanity. How do we move from here?
Annette, you were together with Elisabeth working on this now for months and months. You invited people from all over the globe to participate. Can you tell us a little bit who will join us? How will they join? And for someone who does not know how a global webcast, how a global vigil like this can function, how should we envision something like a global online meditation vigil event? Can you kind of describe to a complete novice what are we expecting here?
Well, I think first of all, you can expect something mind blowing. So. Okay, what I try to find words for it. It's going to be in the first place extremely simple. So what we are doing is we meet online in something that is working like a big theater. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like a big virtual theater with a stage and many seats in it. And on this stage, different things happen. But the audience and the people on the stage can interact with each other. So this is maybe a picture that works.
Mm-hmm. Okay, using your picture,
yeah.
Who will come on stage?
Yeah, we have, there are coming people on the stage that are that all hold a very strong intention, to contribute, that we can grow together as one humanity and that we repair and sustain our planet and reconcile our connection with Earth. So there are people coming on this stage that are wisdom keepers from all over the globe, traditions like religious traditions, spiritual traditions, indigenous traditions. There are lineage keepers from many, many tribes, from Australia to South America. There are activists of different scenes and different genres. So activists that are concerned about Earth, activists concerned about our social and political sphere. And we have quite a bunch of artists, mm-hmm. that are trying to bring transformation through art and music, and try to engage people in that medium to bring across change.
What I'm really looking forward to, because I not only saw this people on the website who got invited, I was partly inviting them myself, and it was part of the process of really getting this really beautiful lineup of people who, on one hand, are very engaged in spiritual work, on the other hand, are very engaged in what one could call activist work. And I have this vision of this stage, as you were describing it, Annette, that we connected to this network called Internet with this audio-visual technology called screen and microphone loudspeakers, have a huge worldwide conversation with people who are really, on one hand, very concerned about this planet and want to do something about this planet. On the other hand, have a deep trust in life, trust in existence as such, and also trust in each other as human beings. And people will share their work, will share their rituals, and will create something where we really have a worldwide unification on a very small scale, but a coming together where there's a virtual space of relationship building up, where we find a connection to each other, where we find a connection to the depth of all the traditions that are connected here from different continents and the different regions of the world, and where we find also connection to the pain points, at least to some of the many pain points that we are experiencing this time, and we can hold this together in a deep trust in existence and a trust in our humanness and human consciousness, and something can happen in this. This is kind of my vision, and I just wanted to hear both of you. Is this kind of how you see this, or how do you envision this as you are working on this for so long time? What's the magic that is kind of already building up here?
Mm. I think that what you're describing is as you might say, from the 60s right on. You know, it's accurate. What I think that the act of, I think, first of all, I think what we're, you spoke about spiritual people deeply engaged in spiritual work and also in activism in different ways. We're trying to bring things, these two things together into David Nicol, who wrote a book called Subtle Activism, calls subtle activism.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that we're working at the less tangible dimensions of reality in which we are not separate. Trust is a key word that speaks to unity or a sense of non-separation. And through the grounding in these different spiritual traditions, the indigenous, the great religious traditions, more contemporary spiritual engagement, we're trying to bring up into our collective awareness, and this is the collective awareness of thousands of people around the world at the same time, that this field of oneness, of the ground of existence that we all share is real, is alive. And bringing that alive between us in this event gives us a different place from which to see our differences and to sense our differences. And from that, a different possibilities for change or moving forward can arise. I'm struck, very early on in this process when we started to use the term bearing witness, I went to Bernie Glassman, Roshi Bernie Glassman's website, because I knew he had done the Auschwitz bearing witness retreats. And I found there something that I had forgotten about, but now just recently in these last few days went back and saw again. He has three tenets of his work in this kind of remembrance work that he does, this kind of acknowledgement work. And it's not knowing, bearing witness, taking action. And so the hope is that through not knowing, which is a form of trust, it is opening oneself to that which is beyond the categories of our mind and mental structures that create so much separation, that from that not knowing, being able to witness and hold in our hearts both the joys and the suffering that are what is happening on this planet, that from that combination there's an alchemy that leads to a different kind of action taking. And I think in some ways that is our hope for the whole thing, that it creates this in this tiny way, it begins to lay a foundation of this of a new kind of before thought recognition of being one, being able to see the whole thing without pulling away, and then being able to move into action.
I really would like to take the term that you took, alchemy of a different action. Because, of course, one could say, oh, this is very romantic what you're doing, kind of holding hand globally with the computers, having candlelights and all different continents and basically having a deep breathe and feeling very sorry about the world and feeling the deep heart connection. I understand it's very nice. It's very, very touching. But is it really something what you're doing, or you're just basically making it to feel better about yourself collectively? And it's a valid question to have this. And
mm-hmm, absolutely.
I just want to share one experience that with everyone that I'm talking about this, I feel something is landing there. That's there's some form of inspiration where people feel empowered, because I see this also as a very practical event of empowerment, where people come together And see, there's so much division going on. There's so much not understanding going on. There's so much not listening going on. There's so much also not recognizing that in spite of all the tragedy, there's something very deep uniting us. You may call it the human spirit. You may call it the spirit itself, however, but something that if we are together in this, we are sharing this, it holds us. It empowers us. That this gives us a foundation for action. Because, of course, a 24-hour vigil like this in itself is nothing but an acupuncture point in the huge planet, in the huge history. It's a very tiny thing. But it has, and for me, it has already proven with the context that I have, it really allows people to find to their inspiration, to find to their empowerment, and also to find to their motivation to wherever they are, have the spirit, yes, something is possible. Yes, we can do it together. Yes, we have to face what is difficult here. And yes, there is a deep spirit that is able to meet this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is, it's interesting because, on taking it from another angle, this alchemy is actually on one level is intended to be a very old cultural tool. So what we are enacting here is actually it's nothing else but a rite of passage ceremony for humanity. And
that's a big thing.
That is a big thing. And it's actually only now possible in the sense that we can actually be together in this because we are connected digitally.
Say more. I heard you more often use the term rite of passage, and now I have the chance to ask you what you mean by that. How is this what we are doing, a kind of passage-giving event?
It is a passage-giving event because... Well, first of all, in the way what Elizabeth said, in by bearing witness, we acknowledge where we actually stand right now, our experiences in different places all over the globe. And we also acknowledge where we come from in so many ways. In remembering, for example, that we, our connection to Earth, in remembering that we are not alone here, but we are actually 7 billion people. You know, and also that we share a very, very long story and journey on this planet as humanity. So there is, first of all, it's a rite of passage because we acknowledge who we are and where we come from. And it's a passage giving because we all join in a very strong intention. And that is actually the magic or another layer of that alchemy. Mm-hmm. So and every rite of passage actually only works because you have a strong intention. Mm-hmm. You have a strong intention to go a next step. And basically you project yourself in best trust and best hope that you can make it. Mm-hmm. And to me or to us, this is updating a cultural tool that tribes all over the globe have performed, enacted, and used for most of the history of human consciousness, I would even say, or at least since the tribal times. And it's a very simple thing, but we enacted in a very in a cultural dimension in a global sense.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to, if you don't mind, Thomas, I'd like to answer that question. I mean, Annetta is very skilled and schooled well in ritual rites of passage. This is a passionate work that she's involved with. But now from my developmental psychology perspective, I'd like to answer that as a, why is this a rite of passage? Or rites of passage were often inflection points, moments of shift, not just change, just sort of linear change or kind of horizontal change, but it's a, something happens that things are seen in a new light. One is seen in a new light. And we're at a point in terms of the complexity of the world that we're living in, the degree of, the whole range of human experience and human culture and the way that we're coming up against each other in such friction. The solutions, modern culture sort of believes in this kind of top-down hierarchy with the boss at the top that makes all the decisions and has all the, you know, knows what to do and lines everyone up to do it. We're at a point where the limitations of that have become very painfully obvious. And in order to address the complexity of the world that we've created and that we're facing, we need to be able to catalyze the co-intelligence or the intelligences amongst us so that they work together in a new way. And that won't happen if we fundamentally see each other as not human. I'm human, but you're not. You say, yeah, well, I'm the human being here, but you're not. But we have to, in order to be able to engage with consciousness, with the capacity of conscious intelligence at a higher level, we need to be able to work together in a new way that shares a rootedness, that shares a sense of we are together. That's not a thought, and it's not an idea, but it's at a level of in our guts that this is how we see life. And it's together that we're going to be able to hold and respond to the complexity that we're facing, not as individuals or not as individual bosses or leaders or whatever. It's somehow that it's going to have to be together with our, in our difference and in our unity.
And if I may add to that, this togetherness is a living, present reality wherever human people meet. And I think it's this meeting that you're talking about. And it's a meeting that has not been possible before on this global scale, in this direct, visual, audio, live, face-to-face way. And I would like to borrow a term from the activist scene and say maybe what we are doing has something of the character to occupy the internet. Occupy internet in the sense occupied for human relationship, for human spirit, for human togetherness, to see this is not just a technological, highly developed technical platform where we can change thoughts and intellectual insights and everything we can do in Facebook. We really can meet in spirit in a way that you cannot do it even in written form. Usually you have to be face to face. But there is a new time opening up right now where we can be face to face, and we can do this in networks of relationship globally. And to do this and open this up is also a passage of activism, because, I mean, you are kind of saying this, and I just want to emphasize it more. Whatever the answers are to our difficulties, they are connected to our connectedness with each other. Our real relationship in the depth and the fullness of who we are, the fullness of our human existence, but also the fullness of our relationship to this planet Earth and the aliveness of this planet Earth. And This is something we can think about, we can discuss about, but there's nothing but there's nothing like experiencing our shared participation in this and with each other. And this is an attempt to do this, and it won't be perfect. It will be just an experiment, but I'm very excited because I think it's pioneering something. It's really pioneering an opening where the internet can be also open for this, can transform us in our global relationship. And I know it's a big word, but I really think it applies here.
I have two things that I'd like to say in response to that, if I can remember them. one is that I think that you know, the work that we've been doing with over the internet, we've done a lot of, you and I, Thomas, and Annette has been involved with this too, training and dialogue work through this medium. And I think that the technology that we're using, Zoom technology, is the best that we've got so far. But that there can be actual embodied human connection that happens through this medium. That is really the recognition that we can, I think I've put it before, like warm up these networks so that they're living warm networks and not cold silicon and wires, but that we can warm up these connections with our humanness. We're just at the beginning of being able to do that. And I want to say that, you know, and this is like the sort of cutting edge of technology right now. And then I want to say something about things that we have heard from a number of the Aboriginal leaders. Annette's nodding her head because yes. I think she's struck by this too, and I'll let you continue with it. We've had a number of Aboriginal leaders, Grandmother Flora de Mayo, for one, saying that she received a message or a sense, you know, a deep intuition from another part of our intelligence that said, you've got to reach out to the masses. And she said, it's something through these networks. And the Tasmanian activist who's going to be on, also said that she got this deep intuition, this kind of message saying we have to go global. And when you think we are actually in this event going to be bringing together people in very human moments, and there's a range of things that will happen in this 24 hours. But for example, our dear friends in the Philippines, that are part of Binhi, meaning seed, they're part of a peace organization that has been fractured by different pressures that are happening in the Philippines now, and I won't go into what those are, but that they're going to be going through, have another organization of these three beautiful women who are healers, who are going to help them kind of heal their hearts because they're heartbroken, literally, because of what's going on. This is something that we can all bear witness to in this event, that we can share this incredibly precious human engagement with these different communities in ways that are unheard of. And this is not like television. This is not a documentary. This is something that is happening live before you, and that you are being invited to participate in.
Exactly. It's not consuming an exotic ritual. This is definitely not what we are doing. Even if people perform in some parts of the program rituals that are basically not especially fabricated for one world bearing witness. But so it is by being present, by just being together in this, I think we can bring back something in the social fabric, or we can actually reconnect to that there is a social fabric and not only a social fabric, but a fabric that is intricately intertwined with all living beings.
So I guess both of you would agree that we could go on talking about this and sharing our inspiration about this, but we also at the end of our time here, and I would like to ask you just to give some information. If people want to continue this life on the 2nd, on the 3rd of December in this global vigil, how can they do this? How can they get there?
You first go online, www.oneworldbearingwitness.org, and you register. And then you come online with us on Saturday, December 2nd, till Sunday, December 3rd. And you can stay as long as you want. You can stay for all 24 hours or only for an hour. And experience this. And all that you get when you register is a link. And everything that you need to do is to prepare your space so you can actually be there in a good way. Maybe have a meditation cushion in a nice space you actually want to be in, and have your computer with you, and click on that link, and a little app will download, and then you're with us.
Mm. Annette, Elizabeth.
Yes. You think you can go to Facebook and go to One World in Dialogue and find the event One World Bearing Witness and click there, and it'll take you to oneworldbearingwitness.org. Just to say that this gets a little complicated, but we're inviting people to participate in two different ways. One is by meditating, by giving your presence, your consciousness, your depth of being to the whole that is being woven together in this 24 hours. And you will be given, there are guided meditations with extraordinary lineage holders and beautiful human beings that will guide you into this depth, that will allow you to bear witness to the intentions that Annette has been speaking about, the deep intentions that these people hold, and be asked to bear witness in silence through meditation. And then there's the what we're calling the ritual stream, where you engage in these community or community enactments, you could say, or and participate that way. And when you sign up, you will get a lot of wonderful information about how to prepare and the food and all that stuff and what to do in very practical ways, but also to prepare yourself and think about what is your intention for this world. What is it that moves you to even consider participating in this? What is that? What is your deepest intention in relationship to the division on this planet and the beauty on this planet? What do you want the outcome to be of this human drama that we're all in the middle of? And it's that clarity of your own intention joined with thousands of others in their intention that will make this perhaps the beginning of a reference point for humanity that is coming out of wholeness.
Elizabeth, Annette, thank you very much for this conversation. Thank you everyone for listening, and I think we all hope to see and hear you on the 2nd and 3rd of December in One World Bearing Witness. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.